Matthew 5:13 through 16 from the New King James. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? Is a thing good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men? You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and gives it light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven.
Good evening, brothers and sisters. It's good to be back in shirts, as always, to visit family, brothers and sisters in Christ. We always enjoy coming to shirts because we know we're always welcome. We always see good friends and family here. What a fitting song for what I'm about to talk about tonight. What a fitting song. I didn't send any songs, and I actually brought a songbook up here because I wanted to read from, I'm not going to sing it for you. I'm going to read it for you. But the third stanza here, it says, "There are hungry souls who are crying aloud for bread. With the bread of life, they're longing to be fed. Shall they starve and famish while a feast is free? I must be more faithful. Here am I. Send me." What a great introduction to what I'm about to talk about. The mission that Janessa and I have started to... This really began quite a while back. It's not something that just started last week or a month ago. Y'all remember when we was here? I guess most everybody here knows who we are. Let me introduce myself. I didn't do that. Some people may not know who I am. I'm Bradley, and my wife Janessa. We worshipped here at one time, and when we left, we went into the work of a children's home. Since we left, we've worked in two different children's homes, and over that time of working in the homes, we've had about 80 kids live with us. And looking back, it's hard to believe that we had that many kids to come through our house, and what a blessing it's been, because that's 80 souls who we had the opportunity to study with every day, plant seeds. What a great opportunity. What a blessing that was. I mean, and it still is. And that's what I'm going to get into tonight. And, you know, while we was working in the home, we found that there was some real problems, some real issues that we've seen, because over the years of working in these homes and seeing these kids as they come in, we worked with them, we studied with them. They become like our own. We lived with these kids. There was kids that at night that I would have to go sit with them in their bed because they were scared of the dark, and I'd have to sit there and talk to them until they went to sleep. They were like our own kids. That's over the years as we did this, and we've seen kids come and go as we've seen them go. There was not really any support for them when they left the home. Some kids aged out. Some kids were discharged for various reasons. Maybe a family member stepped up and said they wanted to take these children. But most of the time, they aged out. And when they age out, that means they're 18 years old and they're responsible for themselves. Now, keep in mind, they're in the children's home. Nobody is responsible for them but that home. When they age out and they go out on their own, they have nobody. And, you know, it's hard to understand. If for somebody to sit here and say that to me years ago before we started in the home, I wouldn't have really thought that much about it. But to see it every day, to see a person there or a child that has no one to depend on, no one in their life when they turn 18, because they're 18 and they're an adult doesn't mean that they're an adult ready for life, especially if they've been in the foster system, if they've been in one of these homes. That doesn't necessarily mean they're ready for life. They, you know, when they leave the home, The time that we've been in the home, and I'm not talking about just those 80 kids that's been with us. I'm talking about over the, you know, the whole time of all the kids that were in the home, because we was acquainted with all of them. There was none of them that received a driver's license when they left. Now, how is a person, a young adult, supposed to be able to work, be able to go to worship service, be able to do anything without a driver's license? They can't. There's nothing that you can do without a driver's license. As our kids, when they get to be old enough to drive and to do these things, we take them and we help them get in the driver's ed and we show them how to drive. We teach them. We have a car and we bring them to drive. They don't have that because they have no one to do that for them or help them with those things. That's what we're trying to do. When we have kids that we're helping, we've got some in driver's ed. We've got kids that we're helping to do that. With our kids, we try to help them get a car. We haven't got to that point yet, but I think that someday that we will. You know, when we see a child that's doing great and they're continually progressing, working, worshiping, doing all those things that they're supposed to do, I see a time that Janessa and I could help them get a car. That's what a parent does. You know, so again, like I say, through the years, we've seen this issue over and over and over. So what we started doing is while we was at the home, this started then, while we was at the home on our time off, we started using that time to visit these kids. Sometimes we would pick these kids up and bring them with us places. Last year we brought one of our girls with us on a vacation out of state. Many of these kids that left the home, they leave as Christians. They were baptized into the church. You see, all their life, they've been left. It sounds bad, but that's the truth of the matter. All their life, they've been left. People have walked out on them. And we're trying to tell them, no, that's not what the church is. The church is different than that. We're Christians. We're different than that. We're not going to leave you. We're here for you. That's what this mission's about. And in the beginning, this mission that we started, we started working with these kids that we've had, you know, in the home. And it's kind of evolved from that. Now we're starting to branch out. There's, you know, it's not just home kids. We see that this is a bigger problem because it's the foster system. Aging out of foster care there's that. Now we have kids that we're working with that are friends of the kids that were with us. So we're working with those kids. Now we're working with, then we have young families we're working with. Do you know any congregations that would say that they don't need young families and kids in their congregation? I think nowadays it's just the opposite. Everybody's wanting these young families and children in their congregations, and that's what we're trying to help do is to bring all these kids. Because what I just read, the song that we sang, they're hungry. That's what these kids are. They're hungry. They're thirsting for the truth. They're longing for someone to love them. You know, I was asked, why do they want to come see y'all? Why, you know, y'all are the ones that discipline them. Y'all are the ones that structured them, showed them how to do, you know, and why do they want to come see you? Because we love them. That's why. I asked one of our girls that very question. I said, when she was visiting with us, I said, hey, why do you like to come see us? You know, we was kind of the mean house parents. We was pretty strict. Why do you want to come see us? And she said, because y'all are our parents. Amen. That's they're our kids. They're our brothers and sisters. That's who they are. And as the church, we have to reach out because I'm telling you, this is a big issue. And one thing that I want you to remember, write it down, research it for yourself, is aged out. When you go home, look it up. Aged out of the foster system. and start looking at those things. I want to read some of these statistics to you in just a minute, but some of the things that we did, like I said, we started picking up kids and visiting them with our time off, but, you know, we're limited 1 week a month, and then we're working 24/7 the rest of the month. We was just kind of limited on what we could do, but we was doing everything we could with these kids that were leaving the home. Not all of them were aged out kids. Some of them were young. The one we brought on vacation was 14 years old. Now she's 15. And that's another story that I'm going to tell you in just a minute. 1 month after leaving the home, we was able to visit 7 of our kids. I mean, that was like right out the door when we left the home. We went and started visiting. We went straight, visited 7 of our kids. We got in contact with 25. There's more than that now. I mean, when I say contact, I'm talking we're regularly, some of them daily, talking to. There's so many kids out there that we can help. I mean, like I said, there's 25 that we're contacting. When we started this, we went out to take on the world, and we figured out we can't. I mean, there's so many you can help, and we got to go through that and figure out which ones we can and can't. But we're going to try to help everyone we can. Sometimes the help is very small. A phone call. To ask a kid, how are you doing? They don't have that. How many times do we talk to our kids, you know, and just say, how you doing? How's your day going? Or they call you for something, you know, not, you know, for advice maybe or whatever. They don't have that in their life. And for Janessa's great at this connection with these kids because she's in constant contact. She can tell me she can tell you everything that's going on with these kids because, I mean, every day she's talking to them like they're our own kids because they are. But that's some of them, that's all they need is love. That's what we're supposed to be given. As Christians, we're supposed to be giving that to the world, right? We're supposed to be showing God's love to the world. We don't see God physically all the time. We see, you know, all these things that are made by God. We can see God, but we don't see God. But you know what? His love can be seen. And you know where his love is seen? Through his church. Through us. We're to show that love to the world. And this is a way that we should be showing that love to these children that are thirsting for the Word. They're hungry for the Word. They're wanting to learn about Jesus. They're wanting to be loved. That's what we're trying to do with this mission. Let me give you some statistics of children that we found as we started going through this, and we said, you know, that surely we're not the only ones that sees this issue that's going on that we're seeing in the homes. Surely we're not this has got to be bigger than, we're not that smart, you know. I mean, there's other people are seeing this. So I started doing some research, and I pulled out some things that I found on the internet, some just some different statistics. You can look them up for yourself. Remember that I said aged out. And look these things up. There's a lot more than this. I just picked out some things. Fox 4 out of Dallas, they did a report on children that age out. And it's talking about foster care. In 2018, Texas had 1,246 children age out. About 63% of the youth that age out of foster care in Texas emancipate, which that means they go out and they say, I'm an adult. I'm on my own now. They go away from, they don't want assistance anymore. They don't want help, so they're emancipated from that help from the state. They don't have no permanent connection or caring adult to help them. You know, when we were children, when we were teenagers, when our kids were teenagers, didn't we want to be an adult? Go out and do the adult things and think we, you know, take on the world. Well, they're kind of the same way, but the difference is when they get out, they don't know what to do. They don't have no one to rely on, to call for advice. They don't have parents in their life. They don't have family in their life to help them. It's a real problem. Some of the challenges they face. 68% of these children that age out are unemployed. 50% have experienced homelessness. Some of the kids that we're helping right now have been homeless. One of the girls that we help right now that has a baby of her own has been homeless with a baby, slept under a bridge. That's what we're talking about. That's the kids that we're talking about. And it says 50% of them have experienced this. 46 have not graduated high school. 30% are parents. That's according to Fox out of Dallas. According to TRAC is a Transition Resource Action Center. They help these young teenagers, these young kids that age out with things like driver's license, getting their Social Security cards, their birth certificates. And by the way, that we're doing the same thing. We're trying to help them get driver's license, Social Security cards, birth certificates. You think they should have those things, right? Well, many of them don't. One of the girls that we work with, she did have those things. She became homeless. Where do you keep your personal documentation when you don't have a home? Of course, they got lost. Where do you go when you need that documentation? Well, most of these kids have no clue. We're trying to help them find these things. And according to TRAC, 60% of the girls they see, they get pregnant within 18 months of leaving foster care. 3 out of 4 of these babies end up in foster care. Do you hear that? 60% of the girls they see within 18 months of leaving foster care are pregnant, and 3 out of 4 of these babies end up in foster care. 50% of them that reach out for help are already homeless. In our little world of these kids that we're trying to help, we've seen this. Some of the kids that we're helping, a matter of fact, one of the girls that was at our home, we was going over these things with her, and she said, you know, I fit in that. I'm part of that statistic. She's not now. She's got her baby now. She's attending services regularly now. She's got her apartment now. She's with us part of the week. Most of the time, she lives right down the road from us now. We moved her closer to us, and we're very proud of her. She's one of those examples of someone who just needs a helping hand. Okay, another one that I found was according to Angel Reach out of Houston. Every year, 200 to 300 children age out of foster care in the greater Houston area. Nearly 50% end up homeless because they have no support system. 50%. That's what all the statistics are saying. About 50% of the kids are going to end up homeless. You know, it's easy to read across those words and say somebody's going to end up homeless, but when you see it, like we have, we've had these kids in our home, some of them for a year, 2 years, 3 years, and then we find them and they're homeless. You see why we started this mission? You know, when I was looking online, I found that this is a big issue, by the way. This is not an issue that, just a small issue. I keep saying, look up this aged out. Do your own research. This is a big issue in Texas. There's many laws coming down with children's homes and foster care system because there's a lot of issues there, and there's many laws coming down. And it's a big issue. It's such a big issue that one of the things that I found, they had a religious conference. And at this religious conference, they was calling for people to help these kids that are aging out of the system, because there's so many coming out of the system that are ending up just like this, homeless or need somewhere to go, that have nowhere to go. Well, they were calling all religious leaders to come and help with this. And when I say religious leaders, I'm not talking about the denominational Christian leaders. I'm talking about Muslim, Buddhist. They didn't care. They need somebody to come help them. And I'm telling you, if we as the church, we don't get out there and help them, somebody else is going to. And they're thirsting. They're wanting some. They need someone in their life. They need this love. And, you know, Janessa and I was talking about this, how it's a scary thought to think of, because many of these boys that come out of foster care and out of the home, they're so angry, and there's so much anger built up in them because they haven't ever had no real love in their life. I mean, they've never had anybody that cared about them. And many of them, that's one of the reactions of the boys, is that just anger. Can you imagine if the wrong group gets a hold of one of these young men? That it's a scary thought. It's a very scary thought. There's much to do. Cultivating hearts, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to cultivate these hearts and trying to nurture these kids, you know, just as a farmer does in his field. What does a farmer do? He has to take time before he plants, before the harvest, and take time and cultivate. That's what we're trying to do with the hearts. We're trying to take time and show them love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Does that sound familiar? Those fruits of the Spirit. That's what they need. That's what they need to be shown. And we're trying to take the time to do that. And I'm telling you, Janessa and I have been able to draw these kids in, and it's nothing. We're not special. We're just loving them. But they haven't seen that before. Quite a few years ago, we started doing this, and we had a young man that aged out of the system, and we were still at the home. This is kind of where the idea come from. This young man aged out of the system. He called, and, you know, we kept up with him. He went into another kind of a program to help him learn how to get a job, learn how to get a bus, and all these different things like that. He was one of the fortunate ones because many of them don't get to do that. I mean, most of them are, you're 18. Here's your stuff. Good luck. But this particular boy did that, and the place that he went to was a religious facility that did this, and they did have a worship on campus there. They, you know, they had a place to worship. But he, you know, he called and he said, you know, they have a place to worship here, but they don't do what the Bible says. We spent years across the table from this young man, teaching him, showing him, opening the scriptures with him, and he understood, just like all of them. I mean, they understand. Most of the kids that we've that's left the home left a Christian. And they didn't, many of them are not Christians after they leave, too long after they leave, unfortunately, but many of them left, and this was one of them. This is where the kind of the idea of this mission come from. So we went, visited him where he was at, and we found a congregation close by. We brought him there, met those in the congregation, and the preacher there said, you know what, I'll be glad to pick him up. We told him, you know, he don't have a ride, he needs a way to go, and he said, I'll be glad to pick him up, and they did. For that year he was there, the preacher went, picked him up, brought him to services, brought him the youth things that they did. Okay, then finally the program he was in, that was over. He had to move. He moved another couple hours away, and you know, he was very happy to call us and tell us that he had found his own congregation where he went. That's what we're trying to do with this mission. That's what we that's a little piece of what we're trying to do. Every situation is different. You know, there's some of them, we got to start from a different places with them, you know, and some of them need more help. This particular boy, he needs, you know, we got him set up with a congregation and they was able to help him. Some of them, that's the idea, is that we take these children wherever they're at, find a congregation close to them, meet with them at that congregation, meet the elders, meet the preacher, whoever, get a ride for them, kind of let them know the situation, and have that congregation almost like adopt the kid, right, to help them. That don't mean that we're going to we're not going to be there for them anymore. That just means that the congregation is going to be a big part in helping them. Another girl, one of the ones that I just mentioned that I was talking about that we have, she, again, just like all of them, have no family support. She has a baby of her own. She has been homeless. She has no driver's license, no social security card, no birth certificate, no identification whatsoever. She had to walk everywhere she went. Well, she finally, the state stepped in. They helped her get an apartment. And this kind of gives you an idea of the help sometimes. That sometimes the help is great, but it's not help. I don't know how any other way to say it. They got her an apartment, okay, in the worst part of town you can think of. Janessa would go pick her up, and I said, you can't go back. You can't go back unless I'm with you, because this is the worst part of town, and you cannot go there by yourself. It was that bad of a part of town. But, okay, they give her an apartment for 3 months. They give her what she needed to have this apartment. They said, okay, for this 3 months, we want you to work. Sounds good. We'll help you with daycare. Sounds good, right? You can save money. They're paying the way. Worst part of town. No car, no driver's license, no identification. She was expected to work. She would have to walk to bring her baby to daycare, then walk to work, then walk to get her baby. You see, I mean, that yes, there was help there, but the help was not help, because how do you ask a young girl to do this, be out on the streets, I mean, and, you know, work till nightfall and be out in this part of town? This was our girl. I mean, we felt like she was our own, you know, and we wasn't going to leave her over there. So what we was able to do was to get her moved closer to us. She moved to an apartment closer to us. We're able to help her with her baby. She's at services every week. This morning she had already made her arrangements so that somebody would pick her up for church this morning. She's at, when the ladies meet for Bible class, she's at ladies' Bible class. Keep in mind, after she left the home, she hadn't been to church. She hadn't been to services. There was nobody there for her. I mean, when you're worried about where you're going to sleep at night, it's hard to worry about your soul. It's hard to worry about church and these things, you know. And that's what, she was literally worried, where am I going to sleep tonight? What am I going to have to eat tonight? How am I going to feed my baby? Those are the kind of things that she was worried about. Do you think that she was worried about, how am I going to get to church on Sunday? Well, she don't have to worry about those things anymore. She's now in a good, safe environment. We're close. We're able to help her. And, you know, she comes over and Janessa shows her. One evening she told Janessa, she said, I would sure like to have some dumplings. And Janessa said, well, good. Yeah, me too. She said, well, you know, we'll go to the store and we'll get that stuff. And she said, and when we get back, you can cook them. I'm going to show you how. So Janessa's able to teach them how to cook, how to be a mom. That's another thing. We're working with three girls that are moms. How does a young woman know how to be a mom if she's never had one? You know, if you go up to any young girl and say, what is a mom? They're going to describe their mother. Well, if they have nothing to describe, how are they going to be a mom? Because these are the kind of girls we're working with. These girls, they don't have a mom. We have another girl that we're, she's married. She has a, and see, this is what I'm talking about. This started out was working with these, we started working out with children, and we're still working with some that are from 15 on up. Well, actually, we got some that's younger than that now. Now we're, and then it kind of evolved into young families. And then that, those families have their babies. Do you see the generations that we are? We have the opportunity right now to help generations, not just the next generation. You know, everybody's always talking about, you know, we need this next, the younger generation. We ain't seeing them in church. We're not seeing these younger generations at worship service. We're reaching out for those. But not only those, their kids. That's another generation that we're able to help. These babies that we're able to help with this mission that are not now, they're now not in foster care. They're able to go to church and worship on Sunday. They have people around them that care about them and love them all the time. These babies, you don't think that they're going to remember that when as they get older? That's what we're trying to do for these kids. Like I say, we have three mothers we're working with, young families. Two of the mothers are married. They're doing well, but Janessa does great with them. She mentors them into how to be a mom because they just don't know how. Many of them just don't know how. Some of the stories, if I couldn't tell you the stories of some of these young girls that are moms, I couldn't tell you without crying, without tearing up because you couldn't imagine some of the things that they went through as children, and some of the things that they express as children to us. You know, one of the girls said, you know, when I hear my baby cry, it's hard for me because, here we go. She said, it's hard for me because of what I experienced. I think that my baby's going through the same thing that I had to go through. You know, she don't understand, you know, babies cry. But she has such a hard life, so much trauma in her life, and now she's trying to work through that trauma as a mother, as a wife. She needs the church behind her. She needs us to help her, and that's what we're trying to do, help these mothers. We have a young girl that, the one that I mentioned, went to on vacation with us. Here, not too, well, during spring break, she was able to come and stay, visit with us, stay, and we try to get her in the end or the beginning of the week so we can bring her to worship services, of course. And something was special about this time because her younger sister got to come. Her younger sister got to come and visit with us, and this was very special because we brought them to services, and she's never been to a Church of Christ before in her life. She's 13 years old. Planting seeds. You know what? When we went and dropped them off, and I think it was the next week, we went to her little brother's birthday, and there she has another little sister, and she said, she went to Janessa and she said, when can I come to y'all's house? She said, just go ask Bradley. I said, well, you can come right now. But seeds are being planted every day with these kids, and we're having these opportunities to do that. We need to step up and make sure that they're being done. That particular sibling group, they're being raised by their grandparents. Their grandparents are very good people, and they're not members of the church, but we're working on that. See, there's family. See what this has evolved from young kids, adults, young families, even older families that haven't been introduced to the church. We're doing that. Of course, it takes funding to do that. You know, we set up our funding in a way that We think of it as kind of as a benevolence, as you know, at this time, you know, all the funding that we have, we're using for, you know, the children that we're helping. It's kind of a bit benevolence, but very efficient benevolence. See, because it's different than just a benevolence fund. I know everybody that is familiar with how the church works with benevolence. When somebody comes up in a need, you know, we give them something, maybe gas or food. Some churches have pantries. We're going into the home. You see, we're going into the home, and we go in, and they may be getting assistance for food. We don't need to supply that. But we look down, and we're very vigilant on what they need. We look and see the kids, they have holes in their shoes. Guess what we're going to buy? We're going to get them shoes. And one of the young families that we're working with, one of the girls, has called us, and not with the intention of us going to buy her anything. She just got her job, and she was very excited. That's another thing. They're very excited to call and tell us the good things that happened in her life. This particular group of kids, they're married. It's funny because they take a picture of themselves in worship service on Sunday morning and send them to text to us just to show us that they're there. It's good, you know. They're doing that, but she called and she got a job. She was so happy that she finally got a job that she was trying to get. And she was, you know, through the conversation Janessa was having with her, we found that she needed some shoes. And she couldn't afford to get shoes because she didn't have a job. And so we drove over there the next day, picked her up, went and got her some shoes. And how thankful. Nobody else. This girl is not a girl that was in the home. This girl is the wife of a young man that was in the home. Young families were able to help. The young man, I can tell you story after story after story of kids that are just longing for someone to reach out, to pursue them and to love them. And that's what we're finding. Since we've been doing this, we have six children attending worship service that were not previously attending on a regular basis. I mean, we're checking up on them now on a regular basis. And two of those are the girls that are bringing their babies. So, again, the generations that are getting exposed, getting the seeds planted, getting exposed to the church. And trying to count that. I told you before we had 25 we were working with, and I'm sure there's more now, but there's so many more that we can help. But like I say, it's really hard. And the more we can set up with these congregations, the more we can go out and help others. We have a girl that, one more I'll tell you about, that this is a girl that's married and she's fixing to have another baby. This is the one that's not a faithful. She left a member of the church, and she still talks about religious things, and after speaking with her, of course Janessa speaks with her, I am very confident, and within the next week or two she's going to be a faithful member of the church. I'm very confident in that, because we started reaching out to her and, you know, talking to her about the church and those things. That I mean, she's a Christian, and we was there. That she was from the first home that we went to many years ago, and now with children of her own, she's had a lot of questions about religious things. And, you know, I'm very confident that she's going to be another one to add on the list of faithful members. I know, I'm very confident of that. Just speaking with her, I don't know the future, and we don't know what to hold, but I'm just speaking with her, I'm confident that it's going to happen, and that she's going to be ready But she has a husband now that has not been introduced to the church. So guess what? We're going to be in there introducing him to the church. We're going to get to meet him. We're going to visit him this week. So much to do. So many great things. Opportunities to bring the gospel to the world. You know, I could go on and on, and I know we're out of time, and you know, I was asked if I needed a PowerPoint, but I said, you know, I got so much to say and so little time to say it. I know I need to speed up. And what are the ways that you can help? Prayer for us. We need that prayer, but also prayer for these children. They need it so badly. Pray that we find the needs that they have and we meet them properly. Pray that we figure out the ways to help them to stay faithful and become faithful members of the church. And like I say, most of them are already baptized, but they have husbands and family members that are not, that we're reaching out to also. So hopefully, just pray for that. Pray for us in this work, please. Of course, no work can go on without support, without money. One of the hardest parts of doing a mission work is asking people for support, for me. But it has to be done. I mean, for this work to carry on, we have to have support. And again, up to this point, all the support that we've had has went 100% to helping these kids. You know, we've had other means of support for us personally. What a lot of the support goes to is gas. We spend a lot of time in the car and a lot of fuel visiting kids. We're visiting kids and families. I mean, so it takes a lot of gas. A lot of things that we need, and I mean, money is always needed. So that we ask for that for sure. One of the things I mentioned when back in our congregation was, you know, when we go on these trips, and I think it's appropriate here too, because sometimes we come this direction. Maybe you might want to ride along with us. Maybe someone might say, you know, maybe we're coming through and we're going to visit someone. Maybe someone in the congregation might want to ride along with us and help us out, see what's going on, see what we're doing, see what this is about. Once you see the reactions of people, and when you help them and you teach them about Jesus Christ, and you see that you want to do more, you want to teach more people, you want to help more people. And that's what we're supposed to do. That's what the church is all about. As we come to a close, I want to read from Matthew. See, this is a... Please ask questions. I know, I mean, limited on time. It's hard to say everything I want to say. And I know I'll leave here and I'll say, you know, I wish I would have said that. And it always happens. It never fails. But this is an opportunity for us to let our light shine. This is a great opportunity for people to see the church for what it is. See the church for what it is. And as I finish up tonight, I think it's appropriate to read from Matthew 5. Familiar scriptures, Jesus speaking, Matthew 5, starting in verse 13, he says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hilltop cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it in a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." And that's what it's about. Getting God the glory. Is it not? You know, it's hard. And quickly, you know, it's very hard for us to understand this idea. I mean, I think we understand that scripture, salt of the earth, light of the world. But you think about those people back then. You know, every one of us could go home and open up our cabinet and we have salt of every kind. Salt, and a shaker, iodized salt, stuff that's supposed to be salt is not salt, garlic salt, salt rock. Back then it wasn't like that. Salt was very precious. The people Jesus was talking to, the people that following Jesus, they knew what he was talking about. It was precious. It was valuable. Some people were paid for with salt back then. That's what he's saying. You're valuable. You're valuable to this world. And light. What about light? We got light everywhere. We got light switches and headlights, car lights, phone lights. Back then it wasn't that way. Light was precious. When it was dark, they needed light. And that's what Jesus is saying. That's what we need to understand, that he's saying you're precious. The light to the world. That's what Jesus is saying, and that's what we can do through this, I believe, through this mission, is be a light. Be that light. Be the salt. There's a lot of dark places in the world that these children are in. We need to be the light that lights that up. Thank you for your attentiveness. I hope that I didn't put anybody to sleep. Now we come down to the time of invitation, and this is it. This is just that, a time of invitation, a time that if there's anything that you need, if you have not become a part of the Lord's church, I got to say, why not? This is a great time to do that. The Lord loves you. He gave His Son for you. Why not be a part of His church? Or if maybe you've done that, maybe you let sin come back into your life, you're not being that light that you should be, and you need the prayers of the church, this is a time for that also. Won't you come forward as we sing?